He still didn't quite understand what she meant, though, so in the end he had to say so. Trillian gave him a cool smile, and then turned back to the door of the hut. "Random," she called, "come in. Come and meet your father." Chapter 14. As the guide folded itself back into a smooth, dark disk, Ford realized some pretty hectic stuff. Or at least he tried to realize it, but it was too hectic to take in all in one go. His head was hammering, his ankle was hurting, and though he didn't like to be a wimp about his ankle, he always found that intense, multidimensional logic was something he understood best in the bath. He needed time to think about this. Time, a tall drink, and some kind of rich, foamy oil. He had to get out of here. He had to get the guide out of here. He didn't think they'd make it together. He glanced wildly round the room. Think, think, think. It had to be something simple and obvious. If he was right in his nasty lurking suspicion that he was dealing with nasty lurking Vogons, the more simple and obvious the better. Suddenly he saw what he needed. He wouldn't try to beat the system, he would just use it. The frightening thing about the Vogons was their absolute mindless determination to do whatever mindless thing it was they were determined to do. There was never any point in trying to appeal to their reason, because they didn't have one. However, if you kept your nerve, you could sometimes exploit their blinkered, bludgeoning insistence on being bludgeoning and blinkered. It wasn't merely that their left hand didn't always know what their right hand was doing, so to speak. Quite often, their right hand had a pretty hazy notion as well. Did he dare just post the thing to himself? Did he dare just put it in the system and let the Vogons work out how to get the thing to him, while at the same time they were busy, as they presumably would be, tearing the building apart to find out where he'd hidden it? Yes. Feverishly he packed it. He wrapped it. He labelled it. With a moment's pause to wonder if he really was doing the right thing, he committed the package to the building's internal mail chute. "Colin," he said, turning to the little hovering ball, "I'm going to abandon you to your fate."
"I'm so happy," said Colin.
"Make the most of it," said Ford, "because what I want you to do is nursemaid that package out of the building. They'll probably incinerate you when they find you, and I won't be here to help. It'll be very, very nasty for you, and that's just too bad. Got it?"
"I gurgle with pleasure," said Colin.
"Go," said Ford. Colin obediently dived down the mail chute in pursuit of his charge. Now Ford had only himself to worry about, but that was still quite a substantial worry. There were noises of heavy running footsteps outside the door, which he had taken the precaution of locking and shifting a large filing cabinet in front of. He was worried that everything had gone so smoothly. Everything had fitted terribly well. He'd hurtled through the day with reckless abandon, and yet everything had worked out with uncanny neatness. No, except for his shoe. He was bitter about his shoe. That was an account that was going to have to be settled. With a deafening roar, the door exploded inwards. In the turmoil of smoke and dust, he could see large slug-like creatures hurrying through. So everything was going well, was it? Everything was working out as if the most extraordinary luck was on his side. Well, he'd see about that. In the spirit of scientific inquiry, he hurled himself out of the window again. Chapter 15. The first month, getting to know each other, was a little difficult. The second month, trying to come to terms with what they'd got to know about each other in the first month, was much easier. The third month, when the box arrived, was very tricky indeed. At the beginning, it was a problem even trying to explain what a month was. This had been a pleasantly simple matter for Arthur, here on Lamuella. The days were just a little over 25 hours long, which basically meant an extra hour in bed every single day, and of course having regularly to reset his watch, which Arthur rather enjoyed doing. He also felt at home with the number of suns and moons which Lamuella had, one of each, as opposed to some of the planets he'd fetched up on from time to time, which had had ridiculous numbers of them. The planet orbited its single sun every 300 days, which was a good number because it meant the year didn't drag by. The moon orbited Lamuella just over 9 times a year, which meant that a month was a little over 30 days, which was absolutely perfect because it gave you a little more time to get things done in. It was not merely reassuringly like Earth, it was actually rather an improvement. Random, on the other hand, thought she was trapped in a recurring nightmare. She would have crying fits and think the moon was out to get her. Every night it was there, and then, when it went, the sun came out and followed her, over and over again.